So everything was just feeling spirally, and I was trying to go to sleep and it just wouldn't work. And then I just had this thought, sort of like, okay, you know where you're like riding a bike and then something gets stuck in the wheel or something and you just are like halted. Mm-hmm. And the thought that halted my spiral was, I love my life. And it was so weird because it was as if I'm in an energy and then another energy just like came in there.
Yeah.
And I was like, what if I did love my life? Like, because I think what I have been doing for a very long time now is I've been attaching a love of my own life to things that are down the road, like in the future. Yes. I'm very future oriented. I will accomplish this goal. I will do this thing. I will take us there. And then once I'm there, I'm like, and now we're going here. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy for me to even miss the finish line that I made. Because I'm already on to the next. And what that does is it really prevents me from ever loving my life. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of our podcast. My name is Jessica Hover.
I'm Lane Dealing-Cherland, and this is Very Good Enough, a podcast from Very Good Mothers Club.
And Lane does not know what we're about to talk about. And I do, but I haven't talked about it yet. Mm-hmm. And it's something I've been thinking a lot about, and I have been hesitant to talk about it, even to anyone, like to friends or anything, because it's doing something really powerful inside of me. And I've been afraid that if I talk about it, then it might like stop working inside of me, or it might cheapen the experience because it makes it about someone else. Mm. But I think this is like intimate enough that it can still do what it's doing. And I also think that you'll get it.
Well, if you don't like it, we'll just delete it. They'll never care. And I'll try to forget.
You'll never know. No, so I was having a moment the other night. I was laying in my bed and I was very anxious and just in one of those like emotional spirals of stress, of thinking of, I mean, all kinds of things. It was like about money, like this thing needs to work. If this doesn't work, then this doesn't work. And if this doesn't work, then what's going to happen? And then in doing it, like every other anxiety and fear kind of stacks on top of, it's fear surrounding like messing up my kids. And like, I have this really amazing window of time with them right now where we're all very connected and we all like each other and choose each other. But like, what if down the road they don't like me anymore? Yeah. And just like all kinds of stuff, just piling. And really a lot of stress about the future. Like, we still need a car. I think I've told you I'm sharing a car. And there's just these different elements of life that aren't working. We need some repairs done in our kitchen, and there's the funding. We're waiting on some jobs. And I was in that car accident last year in September. It's been a long time.
Yeah, and I can't believe.
Yeah, the insurance money still hasn't come. And so, yeah, and actually, now I'm just being open with you, but like, tax money from last year, my tax refund from last year still hasn't come. And that's, we filed crazy. It later in the year, but it's been now quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And there's no evidence that like something's wrong. It just hasn't arrived.
Yeah.
And so that was creating stress in my mind where I'm like, okay, well, there is supposed to be money here. Mm-hmm. And it's not here. And so everything was just feeling spirally, and I was trying to go to sleep and it just wouldn't work. And then I just had this thought, sort of like, okay, you know where you're like riding a bike and then something gets stuck in the wheel or something and you just are like halted. Mm-hmm. And the thought that halted my spiral was, I love my life. And it was so weird because it was as if I'm in an energy and then another energy just like came in there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, weird. What if I did love my life? Like, because I think what I have been doing for a very long time now is I've been attaching a love of my own life to things that are down the road, like in the future. Yes. I'm very future oriented. I think it's part of my personality to be like, goal-oriented, kind of ambitious.
Yeah.
Sometimes to a fault, right? I'm not that good at relaxing. Some of my favorite people in life, their goal is to have a good time. And cool. I could use more of that.
Yeah.
I could use more of that energy here because I'm not great at that. I'm much more like, I will accomplish this goal. I will do this thing. I will take us there. And then once I'm there, I'm like, and now we're going here. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy for me to even miss the finish line that I made.
Yeah.
Because I'm already on to the next. And what that does is it really prevents me from ever loving my life. Mm-hmm. And I think it like got me in that moment, because you and I had recently been having a conversation where I was expressing like my passion for us understanding that we are beautiful, mm-hmm. and that we can love our bodies, like that basically we can do everything built upon this foundation of I love my body.
Yeah.
And so then even if we're going to change our body, if we're going to tweak something or make an improvement in some capacity, that's coming from a foundation of I love my body, yeah. versus a foundation of my body's failing me, or mm-hmm. I don't like my body. I will love my body when it looks this way, right. or when it weighs this number, or when my pants are this size. But I've never really thought about what it could do for me if my foundational point of my life is I love my life. And if that was a truth that was kind of not even related to how good my life is going in a certain yeah. moment, but just basically like, I have decided in myself, I love my life. Mm-hmm. And out of that, I almost invite this energy of things that line up with that.
Yeah.
In the same way that, so all of this is kind of revelation or things like stacked on each other. I'm going to tell you something else that's a little personal, but I'm not going to speak to who the person is. But I have someone in my life who continues to speak over me like we are distant. Well, we are distant while we are far from each other.
Right.
And I've been like, well, we could be close. Mm-hmm. I don't actually have anything wrong with you. Like, mm-hmm. I don't wish we were distant. But because you have decided that we are distant,
right.
you live in line with distance. And we continue to be distant.
Yeah.
And I've been like expressing this to this person recently. Like, what if you changed the way you saw me? What if you said, we are close. We can be close now. How would that shift our interactions?
Right.
And it was funny because I could see it so clearly about this thing, but I wasn't seeing in my own life like the connection between just the way I see things and the way I live out those things. Mm-hmm. And for me, because I tend to get hyper focused on all the stuff I'm trying to improve or all the things I need to tweak and fix, and I'll do it with as pure of a heart as I think I can have, you know, like, well, if I do this then my family will have this. Yeah. Or if we change the kitchen, then that will be so great. Sean loves to cook. Becca's in town. She loves to cook. Like, I don't love to cook. So I care slightly less. No, but I'll think to myself, this will be so great for these people. But what I then create is this lens where I'm really constantly looking at the stuff that's wrong, mm-hmm. and feeling very focused on like, oh, my business. I'll say Very Good Mothers Club. So our location here in LA, yeah. you know, we started this spot and we've been hosting gatherings, and that it's been less than a year of hosting gatherings. And the first ones I ever did, like no one came, and then mm-hmm. one person came, and it's been really sweet. Now sometimes we fill the place, and yet I hardly can celebrate that win because I am so aware of like, oh, but money, something, or, mm-hmm. but I don't have my plan for this, or
right.
just, you know, you know, more.
How do we sustain this? How do we build? Oh, look, it's helping people. So how does it help more people? Not like, oh my God, it's helping people now.
Yes.
Like, yes.
Yeah. Or like, but it's not yet providing for my family.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Like it's all in time and it's a building thing. I mean, I started my day and I just quick, like wrote in my journal, like, I love my life. And then kind of expanded on that a little bit. Like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. What do I, and I can really identify like things I absolutely love about my life right now.
Right.
I also, if I wanted to, could make a list of all the reasons why I don't love things right now. But I guess that's what I'm getting to is like, there's always a choice of where we're focusing our attention. Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking as somebody who was formerly very depressed. So when I was in the thick of my depression, I definitely would have needed some like medical support to be able to get to a point where I could really believe that I love my life. So yeah. I'm going to throw that tidbit out because I think if someone tried to pep talk depressed Jessica
yes.
into loving her life, I would have looked at her like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Do you know how much time I've spent trying to love my life, mm-hmm. something's broken. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, it took therapy and some medicine and some lifestyle shifts to get to a point where I can even think with the clarity of mind that right. I have right now.
Right.
So just shout out to like medicine and therapy. If yeah. you need it, please get it. You're not crazy. But for me now, as a not clinically depressed person, just as a person who struggles, like yeah. a normal everyday Absolutely. Struggle, I have been really encouraged with the idea of like, I can decide that I love my life. And what I also, sorry, I'm talking so much.
This is but amazing. I have so many thoughts and I never okay. want you to stop.
Okay, perfect. I want to hear your thoughts. But what I thought is like, actually, there are a lot of people who don't want me to love my life. And it's because I'll spend more money if I don't love my life.
Yeah.
I will, if I don't love my life, I'm going to look everywhere else to try and find the thing that will make me love my life. Similarly to like beauty brands probably don't really want me to love my skin or love my body because mm-hmm. I'm going to spend less money. And our whole economy is built on like, just spend money, please. Mm-hmm. And so just realizing like, if I make a decision that I love my life and I let that be the foundation. That doesn't mean everything's good. That doesn't mean there aren't things that I want to change on a regular basis or areas I would want to improve or things I'd want to be different. But it's starting from a place of, I love my life and that is my, that's my period at the end of the sentence. Like yeah. that is what will be about my life and you can't steal that from me because you, not you guys and not you, but just like whoever would want that not to be true about me, can't take that from me because mm-hmm. they didn't give it to me.
Yes.
I am arriving to it because that is who I want to be. And it even has something to do with me and God that I don't totally understand. It almost is like a thank you. Like in the same way that like when I give Wilson a toy and then he plays with it later and he yeah. goes, I love my truck. Mm. I love it. Like as mom who gave him the thing, I'm like, yeah. oh my gosh, this is so cute. Mm-hmm. And so I even thought like, what a holy act to be like, I love my life. Like that's that. And yes, I don't have a car right now. And yes, there's money lingering somewhere in the air yes. that I don't know where it is. Yeah. And yes, I have no idea what's going to come of these scary business related things. Mm-hmm. But if I can say I love my life today, then I can also say that in a year. And I can, you know, I think it will be a lot harder in seasons when I'm really, really grieving, because that is also true about humanity is where we go yeah. through things that are just like heartbreaking moments. And so I would never look at someone who's going through heartbreak and be like, so where's your I love your life period at mm-hmm. the end of your sentence? Like, that's not realistic. But I do think if I can find this like spiritual connection between myself and my relationship with my life, that I could still somehow get to that place. I'm thinking of like Viktor Frankl, who wrote that book, Man's Search for Meaning, and mm-hmm. he was in the concentration camp. And I don't think he would have called it, I love my life. But what he found was a sense of meaning that valued his life so much that it kept him alive. And in that book, he talks about how he was able to stay alive mentally, like keep himself alive in the midst of suffering. That, okay, so that's making sense.
That's making yeah. so much sense. And I think it's not fluffy mm-hmm. pep talky, and mm-hmm. I have a bunch of reasons why.
Yeah, tell me.
I think that the thing you're describing, where particularly as people who would identify as ambitious, mm-hmm. like we want something specific and are building towards certain goals, but also all of us want things for mm-hmm. our lives. All of us want to have certain kinds of relationships. We want to be certain kinds of people. So whether it's like, I want to build an empire, mm-hmm. or it's like, I want my home to be this way. I want my child to experience me in this way. I want to have this kind of marriage. I want these sorts of friendships. I mm. want to be this particularly good at this punch needle art that I make, like whatever the thing is that's like your thing. We all want stuff. And that phenomenon of it sort of like being on a conveyor belt where like we get to the thing that we want and it's instantly sucked under and we're ready, mm-hmm. we're on to the next thing. Oh my gosh, gone. Oh my gosh, gone. Oh my gosh, gone. Even if it's just like, we need to pull together enough money for our expenses this month. And then I cross the finish line of a month. We totally paid for our whole month. Yeah. We lived a perfectly nice life mm-hmm. and yay. On to the
next. Yeah.
But now it's the first and I'm like, next month.
Yes.
And I totally missed the fact that like, I did it. Mm-hmm. I totally did it. Totally. Every single month that I've lived here mm-hmm. on this earth, have done it. Mm-hmm. Whoa, that was amazing. Like there's no moment it all gets sucked under and you set yourself back at zero.
Yeah.
No matter how you build. living like that, mm-hmm. practicing that kind of life will make that kind of living your practice. Mm-hmm. So that even when you have total success in your business, mm-hmm. you have more money than you need and can treat your family, you can go on lovely vacations, mm-hmm. you can enjoy, you could be enjoying things at mm-hmm. a different level, you will not. You will conveyor belt
right.
at different levels and different levels and different levels. If that's your practice, you will be a person who never enjoys your life.
Yeah.
Ever.
That's right.
And I think it will have a different cosmology than you do. I don't know what's at the middle, mm-hmm. but I do think there's a way that this universe sort of functions and that you can partner with it mm-hmm. to build the kind of life that you want. And here's another thing that I've pulled from Dr. Sam on a very different side of mm. her teachings in life is she talks about co-creating with the universe, the life that you want. And she talks about which end of the magnet you're trying to use to create or to draw in the things that you want in life. And if you are trying to draw from the negative space, I don't want to lose my apartment. Mm. I don't want to be a person who doesn't have a car. I don't want my kids to be hungry. I don't want to be embarrassed because my business failed. I don't want, then the focus, the end that you're using mm-hmm. to try and like make something happen is actually the repellent end.
Yeah.
I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. All of your energy, whether you think about that just as like your very physical day-to-day motivation, or if you want to think about it as like very spiritual, like mm-hmm. whatever level you want to take that on, like the thing that you're using in your life is the thing that pushes stuff away. Mm. Versus if you are thinking to yourself, what do I want? I want to live in a home that's a comfortable enough size where my husband can make his art and I can run my business. Mm. That's something I want. Mm-hmm. That's very different from, I don't want to be cramped anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't want to live in this apartment.
Yeah.
Right? This thing that flinches and makes yeah. you small and mm-hmm. pushes stuff away. Oh, what I want is this mm-hmm. other thing. I've now sat up and mm-hmm. expanded. And when I don't match with a thing I don't want, I'm never going to notice that I'm keeping away that thing I don't want. When I match with the thing that I have desired, mm-hmm. I want my life to be this way, I notice when it's here. There yeah. was a moment when I didn't own any houseplants. Mm. This is a podcast that exclusively uses plant analogies.
That's true.
And I was like, I want to be a person. I was burned out from teaching preschool. I felt yeah. sad and hot inside. And I was like, I'm going to work with plants. In fact, tangent, I went right when I was deciding not to work at preschool anymore. We lived in Santa Barbara and we went with my sister-in-law to this place in Carpinteria where they have just greenhouses full of air plants. And you know, air plants are those little things that people hang on the wall. They don't need any soil. They yeah. just mysteriously need to soak in water like once yeah. a week. And the way that they grow those is in big, giant greenhouses that have to stay super moist all the time because it's not about soil. It's about moisture.
Wow.
And so the air plants are in trays, but over and around the trays, they're hanging Spanish moss on these long lines. So it's just like walls and walls of this cool, damp Spanish moss. And I walked in there and all of a sudden I was crying and I was like, I don't know what's happening. I just know I want to be that moss. They were like, what? I was like, I just want to be this moss hanging on this line with all the moss around me. I think I'm just burnt out. I think I'm hot and dry inside.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute.
And I just want to be this moss. And I just touched it with my hands. And it was that day that I realized that I should stop teaching preschool and I should do a wow. different job for a while and maybe return later.
Wow.
It had been a hard year.
That's so cute.
It was very cute. I have pictures aww. Of myself just like walking through this moss. And so I was like, maybe I should work with plants.
Oh, perfect.
I didn't. I went and worked with furniture, which was its own kind of beautiful yeah. and quiet and lovely. But I bought a bunch of plants.
Okay.
Because I was like, I think I just need to be surrounded by stuff that's alive and verdant and rewarding and not yelling
throwing
at
a tantrum.
Me. Yes. But also like its parents aren't getting divorced yeah. and it's not having these other challenging circumstances. Yeah. Like I needed to not be with other people's difficult things.
Yes.
And like being yelled at and being sick all the time. It was a lot. It became a lot. teaching preschool is amazing. I did it for a long time and it became a lot. And right now, if you were to walk into my home, you would be like, wow, look at this plant person. Mm-hmm. There's a tree over there. There's a tree over there's plants everywhere. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I have the thing that my soul cried out for in that moment. But if I were focused on what is the thing I don't want, I would miss the fact that I made a whole new world in which I live with plants everywhere and they do fill my soul. If I'm focused on like, what are my desires? Let's build a life out of my desires. Then I can look around at each of the things that I ever wanted and got and have them.
Yeah.
I can have what I have. And that's, I feel like that's a big part of I love my life is I have what I have. Look at the thing I have. And that's not to say, just be grateful and you'll feel better. No, I mean like have it. Have, wrap yourself in the blanket that you saw that you were like $75 is a lot for a blanket and you splurged that one time. Now have that blanket.
Yeah.
Because that is your new reality. You are a person who gets to have the thing you want. And it's this little thing. But amazing. If later what you want is a big, beautiful home where you can host giant gatherings. If what you want is to be the leader of a community or you want to make a movie or like display your art, you did all that punch needle artwork and now you want to have a lovely little show in your community and just show people the thing that you loved. Like whatever the thing is, like if you develop your capacity to have it, then later when you get more, you will have more.
Yeah.
If you're a person who's constantly looking at your life as keep out that thing I don't want, guard myself against the life I don't want, you're never going to have the thing.
Yeah.
Even if you got everything you wanted, you wouldn't have it.
That's right.
And in that way, there's a way to like be wealthy now, right? Like I don't have, there's not money literally coming in all the time. But I love to cook and I make beautiful food. Every single night I could be really tasting the beautiful food that I make.
Yeah.
And that's wealth. That's riches. That's richness.
Oh yeah.
There's a way to say I love my life that would feel really fake and really fluffy. There's a way where that could be pretend. I really don't like that. I really don't like that feeling of people where I'm like, I don't believe you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I wouldn't even want to talk on hot about air. It. Yeah. Because it's like the words when I'm saying it, when I'm talking about it with you, it's like something that's like deep down inside of me that is so real. But if it's just, I love my life.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you trying to sell? Right. What's the course you're about to sell me on?
And you know, there's something to fake it till you make it, but there's also something to fake it till you make it that's just being fake.
Yeah.
And I'm not interested in that. But also like love, to say I love something, there's a way to say like, I love Connor. That's like, oh my God, I just enjoy Connor so much. I'm obsessed with him. But there's also this way of being like, every single day I do a bunch of loving shit toward Connor. And that's me love. I am actively loving him. I love him every single day. That's the thing I do. And if I were to love my life, to walk around and touch these plants with my hands, to have them, to love them, then it's true that I love my life. That's just a thing I'm doing. I'm loving this rain in Los Angeles right now. It's so beautiful. And it could be happening all around me. And I could be like, yeah, I'm a person who loves rain and not pay it any attention or like be with it. Or I could take moments in between work at my computer to just lay on this floor and listen to the sound of it and be like, I am actively right now loving this rain. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
And then I'm rain rich.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm loving my life and I'm doing a thing that's actually increasing my enjoyment of my life now. Nothing has to change for my enjoyment and my interaction to shift with what's here now. And that can still mean there's stuff I want that's not here yet.
Sure.
But for me, wanting what I want and having what I want and wanting what I have, whoa, now we're getting closer to me living a life that I want to live even before anything changes.
Yeah.
Though I do fundamentally believe that there are some spiritual principles in place. It's just a personal belief. I think there are some laws that govern the way stuff works in this universe. I'm not super clear on what they are.
Sure.
But there's some. And I really think like there's something to that.
Yeah.
Of like, I want what I have and I have what I want.
Sure.
I think that is that a compounding principle.
More. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say something. I haven't totally developed the idea. So I might come back later and be like, so here's what I've tweaked. But I think it's pretty human to feel dissatisfied in life, like about random things all throughout our lives. And I think if we understand that, it makes it less powerful. Mm-hmm. Because maybe we've bought into an idea that we should be satisfied at all times. And so therefore, when we're not, we feel like we have to pretend that we are. Mm-hmm. And then we're also much more caught up by people who appear to be satisfied. Like, oh, okay, well then the Kardashians, I'm just throwing out ideas, Sure. Like reality show where they seem to have everything. Okay. Or like this family on Instagram or this artist that we follow or this, I don't know, social media is a great picture of it just because you're far enough away from a person and it's all quite curated, mm-hmm. what you're seeing. But I'm just thinking like, if we can understand that a part of us is going to feel dissatisfied as like congratulations, we're alive.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean we need to rush to numb the feeling, run to instant gratification or anything. Like so much of life is rhythmic and takes time.
Yeah.
And so we can even be dissatisfied with something and allow it to motivate us to grow something. But that thing that we're growing might take a year or three or five or 18, you know? And so just, that's like a piece of it too, is like, I can love my life and I can feel dissatisfied, and the dissatisfaction doesn't need to win. It doesn't need to do anything really. It can just be there and I can be like, oh, you again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're here.
A lot of dissatisfaction, if we could like really hear from it, is inside. There's actually just something you want, and being like, oh, thanks for letting me know. Mm-hmm. I do want that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just set that over here as a thing of like, yeah, I want that. I'll be excited when that thing comes. Yes. I wonder if there's some steps I could take toward that. Yeah. But then, yeah, we do have to be ready to tolerate some low-grade discomfort and some low-grade frustration, just as a matter of living in a body and on the way to the things that we want and that we're building in our lives.
Yeah. And if we understand this like that, like you're describing, we'll also probably be rich people who can enjoy our lives versus like highly successful rich people who are really confused as to why they're still unsatisfied. Yeah. And it's just recognizing like, well, yeah, the billionaire with a bunch of houses and the person who's not sure where their meals are coming from, like all of us feel some sense of dissatisfaction and like wanting to pretend. Mm-hmm. I think it's Phil Stutz, actually. I was reading one of his books and he talks about that. Like you could be way rich and way poor and you still will feel the same thing of like, oh, I have to pretend I'm not unsatisfied, or I need to like go and try and find that group of people who seems to have it all together when it's just like this mirage. It's not there. The other thing I was thinking is some of you gorgeous listeners are severely sleep deprived and isolated. And I was reading this other book that Becca told me to read. Becca's here. And it was talking about prisoners of war and ways they are tortured. And I felt so seen. You will too. Hold on. Because listen to this. What? Listen, it's crazy. It wasn't even like the whole purpose of the book to talk about this. But when they said it, I like put the book down. I was like, somebody tell the mothers. Two ways prisoners of war get tortured. One is isolation. Two is no sleep or disrupted sleep. Letting them sleep just enough that they feel like they might get rest and then waking them up again.
Oh my God.
It's literally a form of torture, ladies. Wow.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yes.
Because what I'm thinking is as we're talking about this, we are mostly rested individuals, Lane and I. My kids mostly sleep. Last night was a little bit of a doozy, but not a newborn baby. Mm-hmm. As mostly rested individuals, I feel that our ability to have the I love my life thing going, that energy flowing in us, is much more unlockable. Whereas like if we are totally sleep deprived and alone a lot, or alone with our baby, which is obviously not alone, but this baby can't talk back, or this toddler talks back, but it's a little aggressive, you just might not feel like your whole self. So you might be listening being like, oh, I would love to feel what you're describing. I think I'm broken. Mm-hmm. And I would just like to say, you are not broken.
Right.
You are being tortured.
Right.
You're living through a really hard thing.
Yeah.
And so I just want you to have like a healthy understanding of what might be going on in your brain and body. Mm-hmm. And then also you, if you're well enough, like I was just with a mom friend a couple of days ago who's telling us she's going to go get on some like antidepressants or anti-anxiety because she's not well. So if you're in that category where you're listening and you're like, I think I need more support, then it is so okay if what we're saying doesn't quite land.
Yes.
But if you are not in that group and you're just not quite feeling like this is your existence, like I don't love my life, but I would like to love my life. Maybe part of it is just the dream of motherhood for a lot of you, a lot of us. That was a dream, that is a dream fulfilled. And sometimes we even just need to like hand off baby or toddler and go take a little time away to be like, oh yeah, I'm actually living inside of my dream. My dream is really hard.
Yeah.
But it is a dream and I'm so thankful. And sometimes we just can't like experience the gratitude because the tension has just continues. And we don't have a moment away from it. Sometimes you need like distance to miss it.
Yes.
But I had kind of a moment of that. I drive a lot to take Eloise to school. I drive a lot anyway for between that and work, but I was having just sort of a frustration moment about that and feeling stressed and like we're late a lot, trying to be on time more. And then I had to kind of come to and realize my little girl is in a school that I really wanted her to be in. That took me 2 years to get her in. And it's a public school, but like there was a whole process and she had to be in a lottery and it's a different language. And it was just, I had to learn a lot to get her in there. And I had to like really put myself out there as a mom, which feels so weird. And she's in it. And now her siblings get to be in it. And that doesn't mean that it isn't stressful sometimes or hard to do the drive or whatever, but it was just good to kind of reorient myself with this struggle to be like, this struggle is actually a dream fulfilled. Yeah. I am so thankful that I have this struggle. It takes an intentionality to remind myself that.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, even just to throw that out there, like sometimes with our young ones, we need to be reminded too. We need to have a moment to remind ourselves like this stage we're in doesn't make it less challenging, but it is a dream fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's not a dream fulfilled. Sometimes we're like, wow, this is actually what Bob Ross calls a happy little accident.
Happy little accident. You make some happy little trees.
Yeah.
How to be a happy little accident.
Yeah. And then we need some more like, okay, what would I love my life energy look like right now, right here? And I just think it's available to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so good. I love that you're putting these sort of like bumpers in the gutters of it also to be able to say like, this is a specific conversation about like, you know, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs deal. If you're like in some of these bottom layers of like, whoa, actually some of my basic needs, whether that's like I'm in a financially dire situation and I'm just working to stay alive or I haven't slept, I'm being treated like a prisoner of war, though I am merely a mother.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Or whatever, right? Like if you're in a survival space down here taking care of some of the survival things, it's gonna be at another time when you're in a space to be designing your life.
Totally.
Dreaming about what you'd like your life to be, fine-tuning some stuff. So this is definitely a specific conversation. Mm-hmm. If it's for another time, no problem.
Yes.
Listen to another episode or store this for later. That's totally cool.
I remember when I lived in Barcelona, Eloise was little, and that was when I was like at the peak of my depression, which it was more like the lowest low of my depression. I lived in a beautiful spot, walking distance to the beach, beautiful family. My friends lived on my street. And I had so many reasons to be thankful and it tortured me. Speaking of torture, that I was like, I know, like people would say, well, how could you be sad? Like, look at your life. You have so many things to be thankful for.
Right.
Like, I don't know why, but in my mind, I feel like I'm drowning. So it's very hard to tell a drowning person like, look how beautiful the ocean is. And isn't it lovely? Look at the sunset.
Look at the scenery. Totally.
Yeah. And so, and I, once I got well, I still lived there and it was crazy the difference it made once I had the support that I needed and had made some changes that I needed to be able to really take in my own life.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe I'm thankful now to have lived both of those so that when we talk to you, and I know you have your own version of this, which is why it's special to have a conversation like this, is we really both understand what it's like to have every reason to be happy
and just be not okay.
To not be well.
Not at all okay.
Yeah. And that really does happen. And please take care of yourself.
Yeah.
But if you're well enough, then we can love our lives.
We can love our lives.
We can just be like secret. I love my life, peoples.
Totally. Yeah. But also it's the kind of conversation that if you chose to, you could use it to really like judge yourself or like beat yourself up over like, that's what you should be doing, bitch. Like, why are you over here complaining at me? You should be loving your life.
Yeah.
See, they said, Look at what's so wrong with you that nothing's wrong. And you're not even, if you were clinically depressed, I would get it. There are so many ways to bully yourself about this kind of thing. What we are talking about, if you have not heard us talk about this before, is a practice. Mm-hmm. Again, not like you would practice for a game or a performance where you can win or lose. Mm-hmm. Do it or fail, mm-hmm. but a practice like yoga is a practice, or meditation is a practice, or mm-hmm. spirituality is a practice where you try a thing, mm-hmm. you just do that thing, you be with that thing. Mm-hmm. Some days you practice a little more successfully, some days, oh, that practice did not go so well. Mm-hmm. No big deal. Tomorrow you simply return again to your practice, mm-hmm. right? Loving your life is going to be a thing that you do in small and large ways pretty quietly. Mm-hmm. And when you find yourself like out of alignment with that, you go, I have a space I want to be living instead of this space in my mind. And you just quietly come back to it, mm-hmm. and then you veer away again, and then you quietly come back to it in a different way. And the more that you practice, the more adept you will be, mm-hmm. the better you will be at remaining in that place and mm-hmm. practicing that thing. But there's no like, check, did it, love my life in my dream life.
Yeah.
You know, and there's also no like, oh no, mm-hmm. I did it wrong. I'll never get there. It's just a thing that you savor and try and be with.
Yeah, that's so good. I think, can I say something else, or is it
absolutely
time? I was thinking that maybe one of the hard parts about loving your life is that there's this voice, a voice that's literally been spoken over me by loved ones who probably didn't get it, but also just a voice that I have in me that's like, how dare you love your life? So-and-so over here, blah, blah, blah. Or how could you be so excited about this when this person over here mm-hmm. is hurting? And so there's a little bit of kind of timidity, if that's a word. Like,
yeah, every time you post a nice photo, someone says free Palestine. And free Palestine.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And also, I had a beautiful moment with my family too. Both things are happening in the world
are true at the same time. Yes. In living out, I love my life. It's not like I need to go, I don't know, change my social media bios or something. It's more like this holy sacred energy mm-hmm. that I want to flow through me and my relationships and even my moments of being misunderstood by people, both in real life and in my online life, of people thinking they know me and not liking me for whatever reason. I want to have a strong sense inside of myself, like, nope, I love my life. Yeah. And like, that doesn't get stolen. Mm-hmm. And it's okay if I love my life and I am full of compassion for someone else who is struggling in a certain way. And I struggle in certain ways. Yeah. And I can still kind of hold all these things and they can all be true at the same time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's tricky. That part's tricky. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, loving our life, like, it's just really not that simple.
No.
And really important.
And though also on the other hand, how's that for really solid radio? Just great broadcasting over here. And also, it is simple. You have a little child with soft, sweet skin and big old blue eyes that you can look at anytime you want. I can water these plants. Yeah. I got a husband with big squishy lips to kiss.
Yeah.
Everybody can put something in their mouth that tastes nice if they need a moment of just pleasure. There's just some pleasure in standing outside and feeling the sun on your face. Mm-hmm. Like, there is richness all around us. Mm. And that never takes away from the things that are difficult and challenging. Mm-hmm. But there are small pieces of love that you can experience.
Yeah, that's so good.
To love your life. It is. Mm-hmm. I have been a person who has not always been committed to being alive. Mm-hmm. And I am loving it that I'm alive now.
That's so good.
And that's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have thought of that too. Like, you could close your eyes, because a lot of us, we're so focused on what we lack that we can't see goodness. But if you close your eyes, like, your body shape could be any particular shape. You know, a lot of times we have this thing of like, if my shape was only this way, or if my bank account was this way, or if I lived here. Mm-hmm. But if you close your eyes, what is all of that anyway? And then just feel, or like mm-hmm. drink your coffee slow, mm-hmm. or listen to your kid laugh like a little slower, and put down the phone and let it all be. Mm-hmm. And what do we have right now?
Yeah.
It's very powerful.
It's very powerful. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay, that's all.
Beautiful, Jessica.
It's beautiful. Thank you. Don't tell anyone, guys. This is just our secret.
You,
me, and Lane. Really cool. I hope we all can love our lives like from a really genuine spiritual place that nobody even needs to know about, but you can just feel it to be true.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Thanks for bringing this to us. That's really very nourishing.
Yeah. We like you guys so much. Thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. If you want to spend more time with us, get to know our friends. We have a community called Very Good Mothers Club that we're inside of. There's other experts in there. You can come for real like parenting support, or you can just come for friendship. Mm-hmm. If you want to email us, you can reach us at
verygoodenoughpod@gmail.com.
And if you want one-on-one coaching in your parenting,
you can have it.
You can have it.
There's a link below. Yeah. We'd love to get on the phone with you, create some like real practical strategies for like your specific family and your specific child. Because while there is so much of this that is like broad strokes and big principles, so much people stuff that's like true for everybody. Of course, every single person comes together in their very own way and needs something specific.
Mm-hmm. Lane's really good at hearing you, listening like this, and then telling you what to try. And I would know that because she's done it to me as a friend. So I'm happy to make that available to you. Okay, you guys are great, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Okay, bye.